All right, may the divine assistance remain always with us.
Amen. Amen.
So good evening.
Good evening.
So we continue our reflections on the good works. Tool number 25. Never give a hollow greeting of peace. In Latin, that reads pacem falsum non dare. And Terence Cardong translates this in his commentary, not to give a false peace. And Adalbert de Vogelwe translates it, not to give a false greeting of peace. Very close. But if we look at the Latin, or falsa, we get obviously the English word false, can also mean counterfeit, and it comes from a Latin verb, fallere, which means to deceive or trick. And we get a word fallacy from that in English as well. And the Latin word dare, which usually is translated to give, can also mean to offer. So putting that together, I would propose my own translation, not to offer an untrue peace. The context of tool number 25, of course, is tools 20 through 43. There's a big section here. That's 24 tools that speak about the necessity of bearing patiently with the neighbor, even when the neighbor is perceived as an opponent. So something like the Good Samaritan, where clearly Samaritans and Jews were not to be associating with one another. And yet this good Samaritan in the Gospel of Luke violates all the taboos, cultural and theological, to care for his fellow human being, even though the fellow human being in this case is, at least we assume, is Jewish. Okay, so well, these tools are a little different from those first 19 tools we had seen. Those first 19 are about exterior elements, even though they have an interior concept about them, you know, fasting and not to get drunk and those kinds of things. But these tools are much more... the emphasis is on an interior disposition. So to bear patiently with my neighbor, even when he is an opponent, demands addressing something inside. And we're going to see that in a moment. I think all of us, if we live long enough in the monastery, do have, sooner or later, the personal experience, both receiving, but probably I think also giving, those moments of seeing the fixed, kind of frozen smile of my brother, or where I just kind of do the same thing. And obviously something has been said or done that is upsetting my brother, or it's upsetting me. And in one sense, there's nothing wrong with that as long as we process it. Where it gets to be a problem is when I don't process it. And of course, then it grows into an interior resentment. Because, again, I cannot necessarily know the reason when a brother does that to me, and vice versa. He doesn't know sometimes why I am upset with him. But I do find myself asking, do I lead a brother astray by my own false assurances? and then could proceed to undermine my brother in some form or fashion. Not necessarily publicly, but work behind the scenes. Now, a false peace here, don't confuse it with this empathic listening that we had a month ago or so and spoke about in community, where we listen to one another and we receive, you know, whatever the grievances or the struggles. You know, in this empathic listening, we don't necessarily agree with the brother's position or whatever the difficult experience he's trying to share in a relationship or a situation. That empathic listening is not a false peace. It is empathic listening. But a false peace, and perhaps it's the occupational hazard of monks in a cloistered community, more so than monks in a larger community that have active apostolates, universities, parishes, or other outreach ministries, such as our Black Benedictine brothers and sisters in the United States here, meaning the color of their habit. Black in that sense, because, you know, here we're not going to go out to some kind of parish ministry, etc. So we're with one another for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, more or less. You know, I mean, you may go out as I did to Montague, California today, but anyway. We're just with one another, right? So you and I, in this enclosed special environment, we have to work, really, or we have to cultivate, which why St. Benedict calls it a tool. A tool is there for cultivating or to, you know, correct things. You know, your hammer or your screwdriver is to screw screws in the wall or whatever it is. So a tool is there to be used to cultivate. In this sense, to maintain the daily signs that we are at peace with one another. We have to work at keeping peace with one another, not a false peace. We can just go through the actions and pretend and yet be a community that's totally divided and torn in factions. But, of course, working on this daily signs of peace, you know, it's not just with the brothers, but with our staff, with the visitors who show up, the guests that check in to the guest house. Well, it's easy enough sometimes to be friendly to the guests or the visitors, maybe even the staff, versus, you know, being, you know, at peace with the brothers I live with. But still, we have to practice this with everyone. So I just ask, well, what are the ways you and I are called to practice this authentic peace? Well, I should say, what are the ways St. Benedict provides us? Because there are gestures of unity and harmony that, in a sense, St. Benedict legislates, if you want to use that word, or at least lays out a practical application, a program of working on unity and harmony. Well, first of all, traditionally, the Lord's Prayer is said at all the day hours, all the little, including the little hours, but it's generally said privately, or, you know, as part of the end conclusion. But at Lauds in Vespers, St. Benedict has us saying that out loud. Well, he has the abbot saying it out loud, but we all pray it out loud. And he says, why? So that the thorns of contention do not spring up. Forgive us as we forgive those. And that's his emphasis there. Later on in the Tools of Good Works, Tool 73 to be precise, St. Benedict's going to lay out the necessity of reconciliation with all of you before the sun sets. St. Benedict says, be sure to give the sign of, or the kiss of peace at the time of receiving the guests, because we want to avoid the delusions of the devil. So again, we need to remember that. That's not just the guests that show up at the guest house, but again, all our visitors and all our staff. You know, not necessarily verbally, but in our hearts, you know, greet them with a sense of peace each day when we encounter them. Also, there is the kiss of peace, both at profession, although that's kind of a special kiss, but nevertheless, it's a kiss of peace. And then at the Eucharist in chapter 63 of the rule, where St. Benedict has us exchanging the kiss of peace at the time of communion, is how he puts it. Well, I suppose there's other areas too, but these are at least a beginning for us to cultivate a peace with one another. And as we know, love is an act of the will. You choose to love or choose not to love. It's not based on your feelings, etc., but it's based on a choice. Now, the grace of God works in that process. And we need to sometimes to transcend ourselves, but nevertheless, we choose to love or not. So, you know, we are required to pray for our brothers all the time, every day. All the more so when the relationship we experience has ruptured. Now, I'm not saying the prayer necessarily just resolves the rupture, you know, magically or instantaneously. But when I do take the rupture, the breakdown of the relationship into prayer, and it becomes my prayer then, or part of my prayer, it just helps me to recognize there is a brokenness and a pain that the brokenness or the rupture has caused. And the prayer allows me, if it's authentic prayer in the Holy Spirit, allows me to enter into myself, to recognize my own weakness, and to move beyond my own pettiness, to embrace conversion in the sense of myself. There's only one person in this room that can change me, and it's not Eric, and it's not Brother Francis. It's only me. They can say all they want to, but they're not going to change me. Only I can change myself, right? I can't change you, and I can't change the community. And those are some of the most difficult lessons to learn. And it takes a whole lifetime to learn that. But so this whole process of prayer in the rupture, when a relationship is no longer in peace, is what helps me, you know, to change myself. You know, when we stop and think about it, estrangement in relationship often comes from an inability to accept the reality of my brother as different. Not necessarily threatening, but he's different, or whoever it is. He's not me. He's not my temperamental style. He's not my Enneagram number, or whatever it is. He may be skinny, he may be fat, he may be tall, he may be short, anything in between. You know, but I have to accept him. He may walk fast, he may walk slow, and how challenging sometimes that can be. But there is that saying, and I think it's Seraphim of Sarov, a 19th century starets. I could be wrong, but maybe it's just in the desert stories. Be at peace with yourself, and you will save thousands around you. You know, again, connecting to the peace that is the peace that only God can give and provide, as Jesus says in the gospel. The peace I give you, my peace I leave you. It's not the peace of the world. You know, embracing that peace is a very profound grace. And grace is always, while it's individual or personal, it's communal at the same time and radiates out around the whole world. And that's why the power of our own monastic ministry, which transcends, you know, specific active works, as good as those are. So I would simply say the sign of peace, however it's manifested through the day, whether it's a formal sign of peace or an informal sign of peace, is a moment for me of a new beginning, a moment of conversion. You know, there's obviously at Mass, but we're passing one another all day long, to greet one another. You know, as we walk through the serving line at mealtime or the different work activities, the common work, say in the novitiate, the common work in the after dinner and the dishes. As the community gathers on the way to church for the divine office or the compline reading or these conferences or whatever conferences, any interactions with the staff and the visitors, these are all moments of new beginnings, of new conversions for me, and an opportunity to share the sign of peace in an authentic way. So never give a hollow greeting of peace, or not to offer an untrue peace.